All right, take your Bibles, if you would, tonight for a few moments. And find, if you would, let's begin in the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 is where I would like to begin tonight. I will take you to quite a few passages in the scripture as we have our lesson. I'm preaching a lesson tonight that God has been working on me in my life and in my heart. I have seen evidenced in folks around me that has blessed me and encouraged me. And I have seen it truthfully bestowed toward me. And I really have fallen in love with the theme of the message tonight. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of patience. Patience. And I wanted to do in your heart what it has done in mine. If you would look at the 7th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, I'd like you to look at verse number 8. You understand that Solomon is the writer of this book. I preached through this whole book. He makes a statement here. Solomon, the one who searched humanity, the one who searched for reason to live apart from God and found that there was none. All life without the Lord was vanity. All purpose without the Lord found its end in vanity. There was nothing new under the sun. And he had searched humanity. He had invested everything that he had in his wealth and his wisdom. And he makes a description here, a declaration in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8. And he says this: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I have been wrestling with that verse. I have found myself running into that face to face with that verse as I walk with the Lord and as I serve the Lord and love the Lord in my daily walk and in my relationships. And I have come to find that patience upon a person's life and upon their spirit is a beautiful thing. It's an admirable quality. It's one that, as is worked out in our life by the Spirit of God, shines so brightly. I was thinking through some of the biggest regrets that I have in my life, or some of the biggest problems that I ever created for myself. And a lot of times I can run into the fault of impatience in my life that got me in trouble. Have you ever acted impatiently and found yourself in trouble? If so, say amen. And so we're so geared to that. We're so prone to that. The flesh and the sinful human nature is not patient in and of itself. As you search the Bible, you will find that patience is something that God must bring to your life. It's a beautiful quality. It's a beautiful virtue. Matter of fact, Peter said to the believer that we were to add patience to our lives. And if we would add patience to our lives, we would abound in fruit. We would not be fruitless, or we would not be without blessing and enrichment in our lives. A proud spirit is one that is haughty. It's one that moves quickly. It's one that responds according to the flesh. Every marriage needs patience. Every parent needs patience. Every employee needs patience. Every pastor needs patience. Every church member needs patience. We all need patience in our lives. If I was to ask you to define patience in your mind, I would like to begin, I guess, first. Do you think you are a patient person? Do you think you are a patient person? Do you think your spouse is a patient person? Do you think those around you are patient? If you had to define in your mind the word patience, come up with a definition, if you would, please. If you are a patient person, you are someone who is, let me have one or two. Pardon? It happens according to my time. Okay. Ability to wait. Wonderful. Somebody else. Happy. Don't steal my message, Brother Jerry. You've been, you done went to point number four on me. You're ready to go home, aren't you? Patient. Trust. Long suffering. Patient. We all like to think we're patient or more patient than we really are. So I looked up a definition on how Webster defines patience. Wait till you hear this. It smote me, man. Here's what Webster said about patience. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evils with a calm, unruffled temper. I don't feel patient anymore. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, evil, with a calm, unruffled temper. Wow. I don't think I have a temper, but I've been told by my wife I have a temper. I've been told by my kids I have a temper. Listen to the depth of the definition. It goes on. Endurance, long suffering, without murmuring or fretfulness. Man, I might be able to endure sometimes, but I think I do a lot of murmuring and a lot of fretfulness. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontent. That means eventually they will call your number at the governmental office. Waiting long for justice or some kind of expected good without discontent. Perseverance. Constancy in labor or exertion. The quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. I ask you a question. Do you feel like you have patience? Man, what a definition, Pastor. I mean, I think I'm kind of calm. I think I'm kind of long-suffering. I'm a nice guy or a nice person, but I mean, if I kind of am an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and you kind of hurt me, I'm going to come back. You punch me, I'm going to punch you. I'm not sure I'm going to bear offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. These are all the definitions of patience that I think, as Webster defined them, even find lodging in the Word of God. And yet, it is this type of patience that is commended by God. As I search the scriptures, I find that Christians are called to exercise patience. This is fascinating. Now we're going to do a little Bible study, okay? Take and find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I won't take you too far from there, and it should be constantly going back toward the back of your Bible. So find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read a few scriptures about the charge to the Christian to exercise patience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 14. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says this. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward, say those two words, all men. Believers? Believers only? All men. That means the man from the different country that doesn't know you can make a right on red. Amen, right? Toward all men. Okay, so let me go back to my definition of patience. suffering the affliction and the evil and the calamities with a calm, unruffled temper toward all men. So the employee you think doesn't do work as hard as you do, or the situation that didn't unfold to your good per se or to your perspective. The Bible says that you and I as believers are to be patient toward all men. Just think about that a second. Move, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your, say those two words, persecutions and tribulations. So not only is the child of God to exercise patience toward all men, that means the guy that doesn't do as good a job as you think he does. That means the lady that doesn't work as hard as you think she does. That means the person who doesn't understand what you think you understand. That means the neighbor that's nosy. That means the government official who has authority over you. That means when you're inside the store and they're moving at a rapid pace and you're moving at a rapid pace, or when they're in line with 10 items and they have 12. God forbid. I told you about the mistake I almost made one day. I was in line at a store and I was waiting. And I was waiting behind someone who was from you could tell they weren't from here. And there was a conversation between them and the lady that was waiting on them. And this was a while ago, and I was getting angry just standing in that line. You've never had this happen to you, of course, so you can't understand, but I was getting angry. And I was just about, that person had moved on, and I was just about to give my little peace of mind to the person behind the register when that person behind the register looked at me and said, "Hello, Pastor Hunter, how are you?" Thank you, God. So we went to McDonald's. I know I'm on my diet. I don't go to McDonald's very much, but my ox was in the ditch and I was hungry and I had to go to McDonald's the other night. And man, the line was slow and long, and I got up to the window and I wasn't nice. The lady said something, and I said something about, "Well, it's a slow service tonight." And she said, "I'm sorry, we're doing the best we can." And my wife went just like this, wham. She says, "You're not very patient, are you?" Patient toward all men, patient in tribulations, patience in persecution. You are to exercise those patience. Look at 1 Timothy. It's the next book over, chapter number 6. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 11. This is written to the man of God. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love," say the word, "patience." Patience is something that you ought to follow in your life. This is something that ought to be the flavoring of your life as it is in the Holy Spirit of God. Go to Titus chapter 2, which is the very next book. You could choose all kinds. This is just easy for you to keep funneling through your Bible here. Titus chapter 2. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 2. That the aged men. Who is that? The aged men. That's everybody on that side of the platform right now, okay? "Be sober, be grave, be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in" what? "Patience." Look at verse number 3. "The aged women," what's the next word? "Likewise." Don't give me this, "You're old and your patience have run out." The Bible says that the aged men and the aged women ought to be sound in their patience. And by the way, the quality or the or the or the the virtue of patience upon your life is just beautiful and gorgeous and so anchoring and steadfast, especially those of you that are aged and you're leading families from a grandparent level and you're leading families from a patriarchal level and all on and so forth. What a blessing it is in those cases. Go, if you would, please, to the book of James. Come back to James. You got to go to James if you're going to go and talk about patience. James chapter 5. Verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That means don't rush things. And hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We believe that, right? That at any moment the Lord could come. And so we're to be patient waiting for the Lord. Now look at the very next verse number 9. Grudge not. You want to talk about being impatient. Impatient people grudge. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He talks about how that our spirit gets filled with unrest there. I've already talked about 2 Peter. You can look at that and let's read that. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you would, please. Verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to temperance, say it, class, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now watch, for if these things be in you, and what's that word? Abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience in you. Patience abounding in you brings about a spiritual fruit in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I submit to you, when you think about how you relate to your Lord and you relate to yourself and you relate to others, patience is a pretty big deal in our lives. If you get impatient with the Lord, you're out of bounds. I'll say that again. If you get impatient with the Lord, you're out of bounds because the Lord's always on time. Amen? I guess some of the hardest times that we have in our humanity is we get impatient within ourselves. You can know you're being impatient and still be impatient. You can tell yourself you're being impatient, and you can tell yourself that the way you're going is impatient, and you can understand that you know that, but yet sometimes I still follow that path. The path of impatience is the path of barrenness. So many times we have the ability to get frustrated in and of ourselves because we're impatient in our nature. We want something, or we want it now, or we want this. The problem is, if I have impatience toward the Lord and I'm out of bounds and I get impatient within my own self, usually I have to take that out on someone. And so the person that ends up getting this stuff taken out are them, are the ones that are on us or that are the closest to us. So a husband can be impatient with the Lord and filled with impatience in himself, and he takes it out on his wife, or vice versa. A wife can get impatient and she takes it out on her husband. The worst thing, I believe, that you can allow to come between you and your children, if you know kids, is for an impatient spirit. A patient parent is a beautiful parent. You must hear that. You must understand that. So, Pastor, suffering affliction and evil with a calm and unruffled temper, enduring without murmuring and complaining. You're talking about persevering and consistency in labor or exertion. You're saying bear the offenses and injuries without anger or revenge, and knowing a calmness in my spirit. Pastor, if that does not develop naturally, how does that develop? Oh, good. I was hoping you would ask that question. Make your way, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 15. These verses you need to write down. These verses you need to study. These verses you need to visit when you feel an impatient spirit developing within you. Romans chapter 15. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us, please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, praise the Lord. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Now watch this. That we through what? Patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. You know, as you study patience in the Word of God, you will find that patience is always around hope. It's always there. Romans 8:25, write that verse down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3, and you will find that patience and hope are linked together. If you have a reputation of godly patience upon your life, this work of the fruit of the Spirit of God upon you, it brings hope to the relationships that you have. It brings hope to your wife that you're approachable, hope to your children that you're communicable, hope to your husband that there's a settledness there. And so the Apostle Paul here writing in the book says that really and truthfully, godly patience comes from the Word of God. If you are not in the Word of God, you are nurturing and feeding your impatient spirit. Matter of fact, look if you would at verse number 5, Romans 15. Now the God of, say it, patience. So our God is patient. He's the God of patience and consolation. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And so praise God that God is patient with us. And as I'm in the Word of God, I will find that the Word of God will bring a patience to my spirit. The first thing we do when tribulation comes and persecution comes or trial comes or troublesome times comes is sometimes we neglect the Word of God. If you neglect the Word of God, you will find that patience will be elusive to you. You'll be quick-tempered. You'll be vengeful. You'll see these certain things. You'll know it. You'll know it in your spirit as I walk with the Lord. And as I know when I'm patiently waiting with the Lord and walking with the Lord, and I know when I'm not patient, and usually the link there is how much time that I have spent in the Word of God. So wives, when your husband has the spirit of impatience, you know he's not reading the Bible. You can say amen, that's okay. Men, when your wife is impatient and that spirit of impatience come through, and wives, the way the spirit of impatience comes through is by nagging and pestering and driving. Ladies, the Bible says that your man would rather live on the rooftop than be around you in that moment. Don't hurt, Pastor. I'm loving and kind. But the Bible, when a man comes home and senses an impatient woman in the house, he wants out. Come on, chickens. Amen, right? You're leaving me up here to die. Children come home and find mom and dad impatient. They know mom and dad have not been in the Word of God. Some of the harshest things I've ever said to my kids, I've said in the spirit of impatience. some of the stupidest decisions I've ever made when it comes to handling situations with my children have been because I had not had the spirit of patience. I hadn't been in the Word of God, and something unfolded for me, and I went at it in my flesh. Look, if you would, please, at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. Write that down along with Romans 15, verse number 4. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, verse number 1. This is Paul's prayer for those at Colossia. I don't have time to read it all, but if you look at verse number 11 here, he talks about strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all, what's our word? Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You will find that patience comes not only from the Word of God, but it comes from the strength of the Lord. This is a work that the Lord does through His Spirit. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. As I'm Spirit-filled, I will know patience. This is something that God has to do in my inner man. This is Him strengthening me with all might according to His glorious power. Patience, godly patience, is not natural. It's not. It's a work that God must do in our hearts. Pastor, if this is a work that God must do, then how does God do this work? Here we go, James chapter 1, and I'll be done. James chapter 1, come there. You probably know where I'm going, but let's read it anyway. James chapter 1. You could also write down Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. James chapter 1, look if you would, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what class? Patience. Patience. If you go to Romans chapter 5, verse number 3, Paul tells them that tribulation worketh patience. So God expects for the child of God to exercise patience. Why? Because God is patient. And patience is a virtue, and patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and patience is within the nature of God. Patience is a beautiful quality that one bears. Patience opens doors for the gospel. Patience enables you to love your wife, wife to reverence her husband, parents to nurture and train children, enables you to serve the Lord. It enables you to know control over your spirit. And a patient spirit is better than a proud spirit. Now, anything that has to be exercised takes force. And so if you as a spiritual man and woman don't humble yourself and give yourself to patience of yourself as far as letting the Spirit of God do that work, then God's going to teach you patience. And if God has to teach you patience, He is going to use two things. He's going to use tribulation and He's going to use trials. If He's ever taught you that way, would you say amen? Well, Pastor, I just need more patience. Yeah, go ahead. I double dog dare you to pray for it. I try not to pray for patience anymore. I try to practice it. I try to practice it. The way that I practice it is I'm in the Word of God. I'm allowing the Spirit of God to develop that in me in the fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. And if I don't exercise it, then the Lord will make sure that He puts me in situations to teach me patience. Why? Because He wants it exercised in our life. It's a beautiful quality that He possesses. It opens doors that otherwise would not be open. And I really do believe it's part, outside of love, it's part of a glue that nurtures relationships. Understand this. You do not want to get a reputation of being impatient. Cannot let that happen. If you get a reputation that you are an impatient person, nobody's going to hire you. You're not going to stay long in certain places. People don't want to be around you if you can't handle certain things without that temper roaring up or without a vengeance kind of deal. And these aren't qualities that ought to be about God's people. God's people ought to reflect the Spirit of God that lives within them. Amen? It's a beautiful quality. I would ask you to take the lesson tonight, springboard from it, and go home and get on your knees and spend some time with God and ask God, God, do I need patience or am I a patient person? And I will tell you that God works in mysterious ways in the life of patient people. I have watched people exercise godly patience and they have saved relationships. They have been used for the gospel's sake. They have been able to keep the bond in their home. And there's just a special beauty about a patient person. I want our church to be patient. Amen.